content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I will be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, July 3rd through Sunday, July 9th, 2023. The commentary for the month of July was written by Manelis Tamayo Megret, who was born in Guantanamo, Cuba. She teaches literature and edits the magazine Luz, that's L-U-Z, in Holguin University. In 2013, she joined the Episcopal Church, where she teaches catechism and serves as diocesan secretary for Episcopal Church women in Cuba. The commentary for Monday, July 3rd, begins with a passage from the first book of Samuel, chapter 10, verse 27 in the Old Testament. But some worthless fellows said, "How can this man save us?" They despised him and brought him no respect. But Saul held his peace. Here's the commentary for this day. In my professional life, I have often been underestimated because of my youth. In my first job as a literature teacher, older teachers were assigned to tutor and advise me. Yet these tutors did not have faith in my work. I managed all alone, worked very hard, and didn't focus on the fact that they didn't value any of my contributions. Then, on one occasion, the department chair conducted a review of all our written reports. She held one of mine in her hand and showed it to all the faculty. "Look," she said, "this is how a lesson plan should be designed." The Bible features many men and women who were looked down on by their peers, like Saul when God chose him to rule. The people of Israel turned their backs to God many times. People not only refused to listen to Stephen, but they stoned him to death. When people put us down, we should hold our peace, pray for them, and just keep going. And now I'm going to read the full passage from the first book of Samuel, chapter 10, verses 17 through 27. Samuel summoned the people to the Lord at Mizpah and said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt, and I rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all the kingdoms that were oppressing you. But today you have rejected your God, who saves you from all your calamities and your distresses, and you have said no, but set a king over us. Now, therefore, present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your clans." Then Samuel brought all the tribes of Israel near, and the tribe of Benjamin was taken by lot. He brought the tribe of Benjamin near by its families, and the family of the Matrites was taken by lot. Finally, he brought the family of the Matrites near man by man, and Saul, the son of Kish, was taken by lot. But when they sought him, he could not be found. So they inquired again of the Lord, "Did the man come here?" And the Lord said, "See, he has hidden himself among the baggage." Well, then they ran and brought him from there. When he took his stand among the people, he was head and shoulders taller than any of them. Samuel said to all the people, "Do you see the one whom the Lord has chosen? There is no one like him among all the people." And all the people shouted, "Long live the king!" Samuel told the people the rights and duties of the kingship, and he wrote them in a book and laid it up before the Lord. Then Samuel sent all the people back to their homes. Saul also went to his home at Gibeah, and with him went warriors whose hearts God had touched. But some worthless fellows said, "How can this man save us?" They despised him and brought him no present, but he held his peace. And the moving forward question for this Monday, July 3rd, is, can you think of examples when Jesus reached out to someone who was underestimated or despised? Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, July 4th, which of course is Independence Day in the United States. This begins with a passage from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out, not knowing where he was going. My husband was sent as a missionary to Holguin, a town in eastern Cuba that we didn't know. He arrived a day before our family and saw the tiny house that would be our home. The neighborhood didn't have paved streets, water, or sewage systems, and the property was full of weeds. He met us at the train station as we arrived. Looking overwhelmed, he said, "Honey, if you all wish to turn around, I understand." I told him, "God has sent you here. We will stand by you and move forward." Just as Abraham set out for a new land, we left without knowing where we were headed. We moved by faith and held on to that faith. Years have passed since that move, and we are still in this town we now love. In many aspects, our lives have prospered, and we have experienced God's presence and faithfulness all the time. When we move into the unknown, guided by God's promise only, there is no reason to fear. God always prepares something better. And now I'm going to read the entire verse here from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 16. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven, and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday, pray for direction. Could God have a new calling for you? The commentary for Wednesday, July 5th, begins with a passage from the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 20. But Peter said to Simon, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain God's gift with money." Money cannot buy everything. Sadly, COVID-19 taught us a lot about that lesson. Despite having access to resources and the best medical attention, many wealthy people died because of the virus. Money doesn't buy happiness or love or health. Peter makes this clear when Simon, a magician, attempts to purchase the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Jesus offers himself as a sacrifice to save all humankind without charging one cent. It is an act of infinite love, and the only way to pay this gift back is through love, by treating our neighbor with holiness and justice. As Christian clergy and laity, we must reject greed and privilege and seek instead to be righteous and kind before God, thus deserving every good thing the Lord offers to us. And now I'm going to read the full passage from the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 14 through 25. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. The two went down and prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet the Spirit had not come upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain God's gift with money. You have no part or share in this, for your heart is not right before God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and the chains of wickedness." Simon answered, "Pray for me to the Lord, that nothing of what you have said may happen to me." Now after Peter and John had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, proclaiming the good news to many villages of the Samaritans. And the moving forward statement for this day is, list three things that have no monetary value, yet they always make you happy. Then say a prayer of thanksgiving. Now let's turn to the commentary for Thursday, July 6th. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verse 23. "But they kept urgently demanding with loud shouts that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed." Mary Anna is an Episcopal friend who studied in a boarding school as a teen. Corruption was rampant in that institution. During finals, it was normal for students to cheat so they could pass their classes. Mary Anna didn't like cheating. During a test, another student asked her to whisper the correct answer, but she refused to do so. After the test, her classmates called her selfish, a clown, and added other insults. That was the price she had to pay for being fair. She was fair, courageous, and loyal to her convictions. Sadly, more often than not, people yield to crowd pressure, as Pontius Pilate did when the crowd cried for him to crucify Jesus. So often it seems easier to yield to fit in and please the crowd. To stand firm, we need courage, resilience, and a sense of justice. May God grant us those gifts all the time. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of Luke, chapter 23, verses 13 through 25. Pilate then called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people, and he said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was perverting the people. and here I have examined him in your presence and have not found this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. Indeed, he has done nothing to deserve death. I will therefore have him flogged and release him." Then they all shouted out together, "Away with this fellow! Release Barabbas for us!" This was a man who had been put in prison for an insurrection that had taken place in the city and for murder. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" A third time he said to them, "Why, what evil has he done? I have found in him no ground for the sentence of death. I will therefore have him flogged and then release him." But they kept urgently demanding with loud shouts that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate gave his verdict that their demand should be granted. He released the man they asked for, the one who had been put in prison for insurrection and murder, and he handed Jesus over as they wished. And the moving forward question for Thursday, July 6th, many people live surrounded by rings, dings, and notifications. Today, turn off your devices for a while and enjoy the quiet. The commentary for Friday, July 7th, begins with a passage from Psalm 140, verse 11. "A slanderer shall not be established on the earth, and evil shall hunt down the lawless." According to an old saying, lies can run for 100 years, but truth will beat them in one day. How often we have been slandered. The lies people spread are sometimes motivated by envy. We may be doing something good, perhaps something the envious cannot achieve. Or we may have something that others want, healthy relationships, steady work, and even laughter can become targets for the envious. Slander may hurt, but we can be certain no lie lasts forever. Sooner or later, truth will come to light. Those who lie about us may be able to deceive others, but not themselves. They will never have peace. When we find ourselves in a situation where others slander and speak lies, let us cry out to God. In due time, God, who is perfect, will answer justly. And now I'm going to read the full Psalm 140. It begins, "Deliver me, O Lord, from evildoers. Protect me from those who are violent, who plan evil things in their minds and stir up wars continually. They make their tongue sharp as a snake's, and under their lips is the venom of vipers. Guard me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Protect me from the violent who have planned my downfall. The arrogant have hidden a trap for me, and with cords they have spread a net. Along the road they have set snares for me. I say to the Lord, 'You are my God.' Give ear, O Lord, to the voice of my supplications. O Lord, my strong deliverer, you have covered my head in the day of battle. Do not grant, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Do not further their evil plot. Those who surround me lift up their heads. Let the mischief of their lips overwhelm them. Let burning coals fall on them. Let them be flung into pits, no more to rise. Do not let the slanderer be established in the land. Let evil speedily hunt down the violent. I know that the Lord maintains the cause of the needy and executes justice for the poor. Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name. The upright shall live in your presence." And the moving forward question for this day is, have you experienced hurting because of a slander or a lie? How did you then regain peace? The commentary for Saturday, July 8th, begins with a passage from the Book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 9. There was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias," he answered, "Here I am, Lord." Not everyone is willing to hear and obey the Lord unconditionally. I have met people who attend church because they expect some benefit but are not willing to serve. They pray, "I will follow you, Lord, if you give me." We cannot impose conditions on God. We must follow God as Ananias did. Although he initially hesitated to receive Saul, understandable given Saul's reputation as a persecutor of Christians, Ananias is obedient to God. He lays hands on Saul, who soon becomes known as Paul the Apostle, who spreads the good news of Jesus to lands far and wide. It is totally human to have fears and doubts, yet we have to follow the witness of Ananias to overcome them and be willing to serve. When we give ourselves unconditionally, we will enjoy the fruits of obedience. When you hear God's call in your life, do not hesitate to answer, "Here I am, Lord." And now I'm going to read from the full passage here of the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 10 through 19a. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias," he answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen a vision, a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. And the moving forward suggestion for today is, make plans to receive in your home someone whom you do not know well. Now we turn to the commentary for Sunday, July 9th, the sixth Sunday of Pentecost. It begins with a passage from Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28. "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." We live in a time of war, suffering, disease, financial crisis, and division. Life is hard for some, and even harder for others. Yet when we feel overwhelmed by our problems, we can still turn to God and hear this message: "Place on me your heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Despite the hardships, there's also great beauty in life. When we draw near to Jesus Christ, read the Word, and share it with our sisters and brothers in the faith, we understand the mystery of God's love. We can always count on God not only to lift our burdens, but also to show us how to help others lift their burdens as well. I recently had the opportunity to worship in the Evangelical Theological Seminary in Matanzas, Cuba, with a group that included Cubans and Canadians. We prayed and sang together, and we cried, not because of sadness or pain, but Because of the peace we felt, through the Holy Spirit, God established a unique communion with us, and our burdens were lifted. And now I'm going to read from Matthew 11, chapter 11, verse 16 through 19, and 25 through 30. But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to another, "We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have given these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take upon my yoke, upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." And the moving forward question for this Sunday, the end of this week on this program, what is your burden today, and how will you let it go? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Let us pray. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our hearts' longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thanks so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.